Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
All right, Brad, we are back.
With a vengeance.
With a vengeance! That was me shooting guns.
I hope that I hope you cut that. I don't want our listeners to ever have to hear you do that. That's disturbing.
We live in Texas. Everybody knows what that's all we do.
Okay.
We ride horses to work. We shoot guns indiscriminately all the time, and everyone wears a cowboy hat.
What does any of this have to do with Disney? You are getting so, we have not even started, and you are so far off topic. Anyway, how are you gonna segue that? Go ahead. Let me hear you segue this into Disney.
Okay, FastPass Plus touch points are getting upgraded. Is that good?
Worst segue ever.
Did I do it?
But yes, the FastPass, not the bands.
No, those
the bands,
already got their upgrade.
The bands have been upgraded, and
yep.
Let me tell you, dude. You remember what? After I went to, I feel like it was after the alumni thing. I'd gotten a Magic Band, and I told you, I said, this feels like it's made out of a thinner plastic, which makes me kind of question the longevity of the band itself.
Right.
But it actually feels a little bit better because it's lighter, right?
Right.
So Magic Band 2 is essentially, yes, they are now going with that lighter plastic, and even though it's got a bigger thing on the top of it, it fits so much better than the old Magic Bands did.
You sent me a picture of yours on your arm, and it just looks like, I haven't worn it, but man, it just looks so much better. Because the first Magic Band always kind of sat a little funny, like it didn't quite contour to my wrist, at least, right. And this one, I don't know if it seems softer, like it's more pliable. Or what, but definitely having the flatter, you know, puck on it does definitely seem to make it fit better. Cause man, it looks infinitely more comfortable than the regular Magic Bands.
Yeah. I think it's kind of a mixture of the two things. Number one, the plastic definitely is more pliable. And I even noticed that with the Magic Band 1, when they made the switch from the thicker to the thinner feeling anyway, plastic, that one felt like it fit a little bit better than my original one. But with the Magic Band 2, again, just with the, I think with the way everything is laid out, and if you remember correctly on the Magic Band 1s, I feel like, didn't you have basically antennas and stuff running down the sides of the band?
Yeah.
More? And of course, that can't happen anymore because everything's got to fit inside that puck that can be
right.
taken out and put into another Magic Band. And so I think by making that all more condensed, they were able to, again, kind of like you said, improve the pliability of it, and it fits better. So again, I know that so many of you have already had the opportunity, and you're like, why are you guys just now talking? This is the first time that I've actually been back since the Magic Bands have switched over, and I got my Magic Bands in, and I'm like, wow, because I was honestly a little bit concerned with how these would fit. There were so many things about them I was excited about. I'm excited about being able to replace the puck, mm-hmm. with being able to swap them out, all that sort of thing. But just, again, when you see it and you see something bigger on top of it, you kind of question it. And like you said, because the old one never felt like it fit right when it was, it felt like it fit right if the entire top of it was like kicked up or down,
right. Yeah.
on your arm.
Yeah.
And so that basically the kink that the top made actually fit around that part of your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was sitting where you felt like it was supposed to sit, it was sitting up off your arm. And that's just not the case. So anyway, that was the Magic Band 2 upgrade. But now we're talking about the touch points.
The pillars that sit at the entrances to, you know, all the attractions. So basically Disney is bringing the technology of the touch points into parity with the technology in the Magic Band 2s. They call it Gen 2 standard for RFID. It adds another frequency that should help with range. So maybe you won't have to line it up perfectly, which would be really good for not only FastPass, but getting into the parks. I saw people having a lot of trouble lining their Magic Band up with the touch point at the entrance to the park. And I don't know if those were less sensitive or if it was just like that's a little bit more of a high anxiety area where you're trying to get in quickly. But I hope that this new Gen 2 standard has a little bit more range and that'll let it be a little bit more sensitive. It also has Bluetooth, which the Magic Bands don't use, but there's been some speculation that maybe it'll let cast members have wireless scanners. So maybe someone could be standing over at another entrance and have just a Bluetooth scanner thing in their hand and scan your Magic Band so that they could have, you know, two FastPass Plus scanning lines to maybe...
Or when things just get backed up
right.
One line or something.
Yeah. So maybe, you know, and maybe that would help a little bit with congestion. So overall, I mean, this is nothing that most people will notice or care about. You know, you will continue to scan your Magic Band at these touch points and get into the park, get into your FastPass line. But it should conceivably make it a better experience if for nothing else, that they have a slightly better range and you won't have to be so precise with lining them up.
We hope anyway.
I hope, yeah.
But now, so MagicBandCollectors.com ran this story, and they pointed out that while we are seeing some information about the technical aspects of the new touch points, that there is still an embargo in place
right.
until October of this year. And so I'm guessing maybe Disney isn't putting these fully in place until then, or, you know, I'll admit that I am not super on top of my FCC regulations for filings. So, but essentially we don't know everything that this includes. And you know, they were asking some questions about, you know, the things that I think could be interesting are questions about, have the LEDs seen any upgrades? Have the internal speakers seen any upgrades? Because honestly, if I'm Disney and I'm thinking about upgrading these things, those are the things that I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
Because LEDs and speakers are what drive the custom Magic Band market. The
yep.
you know, the limited edition.
Oh man,
Magic
I hadn't
bands
thought about
stuff.
That.
Yeah. So you know, like the Star Wars ones where you
uh-huh.
where you had the
yeah.
or whatever. Yeah. If you had a better speaker, and you know who blue skying this. If suddenly you had like a display instead of just a ring of LEDs or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Then that allows for more stuff, and because it does more fancy stuff, then you can upcharge even higher for these limited edition Magic Bands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can say, hey, it does more stuff. And I think improving those things, even if you don't change them up, even if you just make it look prettier and make the sounds louder and more clear, even that is going to drive sales again of these Magic Bands. Because then say you're four people back in the FastPass line, right? And
mm-hmm.
you hear somebody's Magic Band doing something totally different. I think the most recent one that did this was the the 45th or whatever the anniversary one is.
Yeah
that
made
one
a special sound.
Yeah, yeah, that one makes a special sound and has a different LED light-up pattern than the standard one. But, you know, if you're four people back and suddenly you see somebody else is doing something different, you're then going to ask them, hey, why when you went through, did yours do that? And then they tell you about, oh, yeah, because I've got this limited edition one that's for sale over at the Emporium. Well, then you want to go hit up the Emporium so you can have the cool special Magic Band. And
right.
You know, so I feel like that could even improve the word of mouth for these things. And again, that doesn't actually lead to a better experience per se,
but it's in Disney's best interest.
Yes, and I think it would be cool to have that. So
yeah.
I would like to see some more improvements, and hopefully we will when the embargo is lifted. Again, all of the getting the insides more up to date and giving it new specs, you know, but some of the stuff, it's like, they will now include four USB ports. I'm like, I didn't even know they had one right. USB port before. Where are they going? You know, and they say things about, you know, needing an antenna or being able to connect to other stuff. And that's all fine and good.
If a cast member needs to charge their phone.
Right. Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. They'll have two micro USB and two lightning cables or USB-C and lightning cable, whatever. So you can charge your phones and, you know, everyone will be more crowded around that choke point that is the fast pass entry line anyway.
Right.
But yeah, I think that could be a huge improvement. Is either A, just improving the existing stuff, or B, even adding some new functionality that can be activated by those limited edition Magic Bands. So
right.
I'm curious as to whether or not we're going to see anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Can I get a little geeky for just a second?
Go ahead. Get a little, just a little geeky though. Not a lot geeky. People will turn us off.
Put a
chapter marker right here and put it at the end so people know this is where Jeremy gets geeky and then they can know when the next story starts. Go ahead.
One of the proposed specs is gigabit Ethernet. And why the heck would you need gigabit Ethernet on a Magic Band touchpoint?
Because they're going to start storing gigabytes worth of data inside your Magic Band. That will need to be transferred more quick. Yes, when you're transferring kilobytes worth of data, which is what I'm assuming is actually being transferred, especially between the touchpoint, we're not even talking about the computer. We're talking about the touchpoint itself.
Right.
I don't know. I would say because it improves it somehow, but at the end of the day, getting geeky here, the cost per unit is going to be cheaper to not put gigabit in it, as long as the cost, even pennies on the dollar, which is all that it is. It's a pennies difference. But why wouldn't you save those pennies and spend them somewhere where you get a better return on investment or something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I suspect that the manufacturer of whatever module they're using just includes gigabit Ethernet, and so they get gigabit Ethernet, whether they want it or not.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds more likely than Disney is seeking gigabit Ethernet on these things.
Yeah, because you're talking about, I would bet 10K worth of, you know, data, whatever your little unique number is, you know, to a server that says, yep, you have a fast pass, or yep, you have a dining reservation, or yep, that's their, you know, here's their credit information to charge. I mean, it's just, I can't imagine why you would ever need gigabit Ethernet, but I'm sure it's just an incidental addition.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, even if the server did that, it would be telling the touch point glow green, glow red,
right.
glow. Well, you know what though? So, yes, there is. I do now see the potential for needing gigabit Ethernet. If you start using high quality sound samples and possibly again, the blue sky vision of some form of video on it. And
that touch point wouldn't store any of that. It would be passed.
Right, because it would be constantly changing. And you don't want to have to send updates when you can just send the data from the server and possibly... Oh, gosh, we're getting into such a long and geeky conversation, but whatever. But you would probably cache some of that data on it.
Sure.
But if the data's big enough, you're not going to include enough flash memory to perhaps store all of the possible Magic Bands on there. So, yes, in that case, I think gigabit Ethernet could actually be useful. Outside of that, though, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay. End geek talk. Chapter marker now. Something else that's changing that's not as good. Is the free dining plan. So if you don't know, maybe four or five times a year, Disney will do, free dining promotion, where if you book your vacation in, you know, time frame X for time frame Y, you will get free dining plan. And in the past, it's been if you stayed at a value resort, so, you know, Art of Animation, Pop Century, those resorts, you got the quick service dining plan for free. And then if you stayed at a moderate or
deluxe
resort, thank you, you would get the Disney dining plan for free, which is the standard one where you get one table service credit, one quick service credit, one snack every day. Now what they're doing is the value and moderate resorts they get the quick service plan, and only the deluxe resorts get the Disney dining plan. Now, you always have the ability to pay the difference to upgrade to the next one. So if you're staying at, say, Coronado Springs, and you want the dining plan, the Disney dining plan, you will only have to pay the difference, which is still a pretty good value, but it's kind of a bummer that they have reduced the, you know, value of it in that way. The quick service dining plan is not great and is really not a good way to use the free dining plan promotion.
Well, you say it's not great, but it's, I think anything is great when it's free.
Well, yeah, but it's not as valuable.
That is true, but I think it just comes down to how you want to do your vacation, because the standard dining is what? One quick service, one table service, two
one
snacks.
Snack. Is two
it,
snacks?
I think it's I thought two it was snacks. One. I think oh. this year it's two snacks.
Well, that's why. Can't afford to give you another bottle of water if you're only staying at Caribbean Beach.
Yeah, so the standard package is quick service, table service, two snacks, and a mug. The quick service this year is two quick service, still two snacks per day. So both of them have two snacks now, and the mug. So really the difference between the two is whether you do table service or quick service for your second meal. So whatever difference you have to pay, you're paying that so that you can do one of your two meals at a table service restaurant. And of course,
right.
Disney's always more than happy to let you downgrade one of your table services back to a quick service if you want, because you paid more. So sure, you can do whatever you want. But if you are somebody who, let's say, you do all three meals throughout the day, so you actually get up early enough and you go do your breakfast every day, and then you do lunch, and then you do dinner, the quick service plan maybe isn't a horrible plan for you, because you're going to need to handle three meals every day anyway.
I guess so, yeah.
So your quick service could be your breakfast and lunch, and then you could do your table service at dinner. And I haven't worked the math on this, so it may still make more sense to pay for one of those three meals and make that, go ahead and pay the upgrade fee. So you get your table service for free and pay for breakfast, let's say, because maybe you don't want to get the entirety of a free meal with your breakfast because you don't want to go that big with it. So, yeah, it's definitely not worth as much, though, for somebody like me, I think, where I don't want to do nothing but quick service the whole time I'm at Walt Disney World, and I'm not going to do breakfast. I'm usually only going to do lunch and dinner while I'm at the... I might grab a snack, but that's what my snack credit is for, right?
Yes.
But yeah, it definitely devalues, I think, the moderate resorts. And that's kind of weird, because it doesn't change the value at all of the value resort stays. It doesn't affect the deluxe. It only affects the moderates.
Right. And they're not... So I would be, I think, more okay with this if the moderate resorts were more in line with the price of the value resorts, you know, but they are a lot more expensive.
Yeah, but they're also not in... I could make the same argument that they're not in line with the cost of the deluxe resorts.
Yeah, and that's true. The deluxe resorts are just as much more expensive than the moderates are the values.
And so last year, you could have made the argument, well, it's kind of, you know, stinks for deluxe resort guests.
Yeah.
Because they're paying so much more, and they're getting the exact same thing that this dude who's staying at Port Orleans French Quarter is getting.
Right, and I guess, yeah, you don't want to devalue people who are staying and paying $400 a night.
Yeah, you know, and what? So this year there are four free dining dates: August 21st through September 30th, November 14th through 20th, 25th through 27th, which is... So 3 days, if you want to come stay in those 3 days, you can get it for free. And then December 8th through 23rd. So if you want to do free dining, which again, I think if you can plan a vacation during those dates, it's great because you do get some value added there. Those are the dates you're going to be wanting to plan for. And as you're listening to this podcast, you should probably be hitting up the website, because a lot of that is probably already gone. DisneyFoodBlog.com posted this on the 24th, and free dining periods in the blocks of rooms that are available for it tend to go pretty darn quick.
Yeah, I would definitely go over to the Disney Food Blog and read their write up on it. It's very good. Again, we recommend that website all the time because AJ really does a good job at reporting and explaining things in a way that's easy. I guess I would say, I mean, if you're going to do that, I would say stay at a moderate resort and upcharge or upgrade to the Disney dining plan. Because the price that it is to upgrade is, for me, well worth the added value and the added peace of mind. You know, not having to worry about paying for, you know, a meal at a table service restaurant at Walt Disney World, because they're all very expensive. And we did a whole episode, and we've talked about the dining plan. And if you have been a listener since the very early days, God bless you. I'm so sorry. But we have talked to death dining plans. But for me, the peace of mind of not of walking into a restaurant and saying, you know what, get whatever you want. It doesn't matter. It's all covered, is worth the price of adding that cost up front onto my vacation.
Yeah. And for me, it's all about saving every last penny that I can. And so I will go get my Disney gift cards at Kroger with my quadruple points and get my, you know, dollar off of gas and try to work my credit card stuff so that I can save as much wherever I possibly can and just pay for everything on my gift cards and be okay with that. Yeah, it all comes down to how you want to do it. And again, for me, if I was going to be planning a trip during the free dining dates, I would definitely be paying the upgrade. I would probably stay, unless there is some discount that I'm unaware of for doing this in a moderate, I would probably stay at a value resort, simply because when they do free dining, you usually don't get any room discount, so you're paying rack rate on the room. And that's something else to look at, is you can see what the rates are in this period, and you can say, okay, so I'm going to pay $120 a night for this value resort room, and I get my free dining plan. But possibly a week before this, you might get some sort of a deal from Disney where the room will be $80 a night, but you don't get a free dining plan. So always look at everything, because remember at the end of the day that Disney is still a company who's looking to make money. And if they aren't making it in one place, they're probably trying to make it up in another. So just to be aware of that. But yeah, I would probably book value resort, just because if I'm going to pay to upgrade anyway, I'd rather be staying at a value resort and save a little bit more money. But again, yeah, you and I have very different goals in mind when we travel.
That's what makes us such good friends.
Yeah, yeah. But you recognize that I say this as somebody who's going to be staying at a moderate resort on my next visit. But the only reason I'm staying at a moderate resort is because I got a decent deal on said moderate resort.
Where did you end up staying?
Port Orleans French Quarter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I was in Pop until I managed to score a decent deal for that. We'll be recording again next week, and then the week after that, I'm not sure how we're going to make that work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I sure hope the 15th we can make work somehow.
Can we get you to go to Jock Lindsey's and sit out in the back and call me on Skype from your iPhone and do live on location?
We may very well do that, and then everybody can be like, oh my gosh, Brad sounds horrible. But that's okay, because it'll be on location. I don't know. We'll have to see. By then, maybe my wife will be looking to get rid of me, so she may appreciate that opportunity. We'll play that by ear. But yes, I am excited, because I am now just a little bit over, 2 weeks out from my vacation?
Yeah, crazy, man.
No, 1 week out from my vacation. Believe it or not, I'm not doing a countdown at this point. I know that is so weird to you, because you do a countdown over a year out.
We did a countdown from like 593 days, I think. It was the longest one we've ever had running. It was miserable.
And I am currently, as we record, 12 days out, because I will be headed out on May 9th. And until I looked at the calendar just now and counted up those days, I had no clue that's how many days I had left. So, woohoo, I'm only 12 days away from going back to Disney. And then everybody's going to be really excited, because then they'll get to hear another set of trip reports. Yay! That's what, four or five shows? That's four or five shows of trip reports. Easy.
Definitely, definitely.
Oh, Brad.
Gondolas are happening. They're confirmed. Gondolas are happening.
Did we never say that on the podcast?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, they're confirmed.
Well, so they're confirmed. So they were confirmed via, are you saying more confirmed than the Orlando Sentinel story we retweeted and posted on Facebook like a couple of weeks ago now? Or is that what you're referring to?
No, Disney like confirmed them.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. And there's surveyors out at Caribbean Beach. They've got surveyors and they're starting to block areas off, like where they're about to start building the structure for the turn at Caribbean Beach.
Right.
So, yeah, dude, it's happening. Oh, my gosh. It's so exciting.
I can't believe how excited I am about about gondolas.
About another Walt Disney World transportation system mode of transportation.
But all that I want is I want this to be a more complete system. I know they have to start somewhere, and so I understand why they picked what they picked to start for the whole gondola thing.
Yeah.
But I don't want this to be like the monorail, because I feel like the monorail is kind of an incomplete plan, you know? Like, it's a great idea, but we did these few things, and then we kind of stopped. We kept building resorts, and we kept building parks, and we just never extended it.
Yeah, it does feel like you should be able to get everywhere from everywhere.
Right. I want to see the gondolas go everywhere. So that way, when everything is backed up, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to be jumping on the gondola. I'm not getting on the road, so I'm not having to deal with all that crazy traffic. I'm just on the gondola.
Right.
And then it would be so much easier to plan to get from point A to point B, because, you know, I think when we talked about the express transportation thing, you know, we talked about how much time you have to give yourself if you have reservations at a resort when you're in the parks, or even or something at another park, how you have to give yourself so much lead time because you just don't know. But I feel like with a gondola, you're going to be a lot more likely to know this is how long it's going to take.
Yeah. Well, because like the gondolas are going to have such a crazy people per hour number. You know, somebody was talking about how in the 50th anniversary of Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland, the line stretched back to Haunted Mansion, but the wait was only an hour, because that ride will do like 3,600 people an hour or something. It's insane. And gondolas are that type of thing where it just really never stops moving. You know, it's not an omni mover, of course, but the gondola stops. You get on, it goes. You know, there is no, there's not loading and unloading of a bus, you know, in that way, because they're not going to hold as many people. And so this is going to be like a really, really high capacity, constantly moving mode of transportation. And you're not going to have to wait. You're not going to have to stand there at the bus stop and wait for your bus to come. You're not going to have to stand there and wait for the monorail to show up. They're going to constantly be going, and they're going to be on this cable. And I'm really excited because, yeah, if you're going to, you know, I guess at this point, Epcot or Hollywood Studios, then, you know, it's going to be like a really quick and easy way, and a really, you know, just the sightseeing of it is going to be really cool. So I'm really looking forward to it even more now that it's, you know, happening.
Yeah. The only problem that I have with it right now is it's hard enough for me to get a flipping Pop Century resort reservation right now. It is going to be impossible because that's where the gondolas are going is Pop Century, Art of Animation, Caribbean Beach. And then what, Studios and Epcot?
Well, but Caribbean Beach is just a turn. Caribbean Beach is not a stop.
Oh, I don't think. According to the documents from Reedy Creek, that will actually they are going to have a stop there as well.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if they're having a stop and a turn or what's going on, but yes, it is reported to be an actual stop as well.
Hmm. Well, so, I guess I'll change my favorite resort from Coronado to Caribbean Beach.
There you go. If you want to do moderate, there's where you're going to want to be. And
get my daily gondola in.
And if you thought the All Stars, like I said, having the one bus stop at three different resorts was a reason to go to Pop Century before, now you have so much more of a reason. But it's probably, you're probably going to see, will Pop Century and Art of Animation at that point become Value Plus resorts or something?
Will Caribbean Beach become
a moderate? But how do you not, yeah. If you're Disney, how do you not upcharge for something that you know people are going to want? You know they're going to be looking for those resorts above all others because the gondola stops there and it doesn't stop at the other ones. I just feel like until all the resorts are on the line, and again, I'm definitely hoping that actually happens, but until they're all on the line, Disney's not going to just look at that money and go, that's okay. We don't want that extra money anyway. We'll just charge you the same. And Pop Century is already, at times anyway, a little bit more expensive than the All-Stars are. I just am wondering if it's going to suddenly be a lot more expensive and slightly under the non-Caribbean Beach moderates. And meanwhile, Caribbean Beach will be slightly underneath all of the deluxe resorts.
I think, they would become that in pricing only, not in name.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, they would never say this is moderate plus or value plus. It would just be this one, is more expensive for some reason.
Yeah, Disney's not going to cop to it, but it's going to be moderate plus.
But we know.
Yeah. Right now, though, with the gondolas, there are so many different rumors going around. You know, I see rumors about they're not going to be air conditioned, and I see different things about what the...
That can't be true.
It could
that
be true.
Oh my gosh, that would be miserable.
True. I don't think it's true, but that's the thing. Right now, anything could be true.
Yeah.
But at least we know for sure that gondolas are coming. They're coming at least to these locations based on what Disney has filed with the Reedy Creek, and hopefully they're coming to You know what? Right now I say hopefully they're coming to more places. Once they actually start running, maybe
we'll
change my tune. I doubt it, though. I think that this is a good plan.
That seems pretty cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.